Hello and welcome. My name is Gino Barbaro, one of the co-founders of Barbaro 360. And on today's show, we have Fran Petrie. She's a Jacksonville-based author, musical artist, and speaker whose memoir, Twins Times Three, turns her journey through infertility, NICU struggles, and life with six kids into a powerful, faith-filled story of resilience and love. Welcome to the show, Fran.
Thank you. So good to be here, Gino and Julia. Thank you so much for having me.
So it's interesting. We've been neighbors, I guess, a lot, I would say, for a vast majority of our lives. You're from upstate New York. Yeah. We're from middle part of the state. And now you live in Jacksonville. And we live in St. Augustine. So very interesting. And we've met through Rob Cosberg, Bestseller Publishing. And that's where the connection we made. And I was always looking for people who are, I would say, the entrepreneurial spirit. Because when you put a book together and you've got children, you've got a family, and you've got music and all the stuff going on, you share with us a little bit about the inspiration about writing the book, but share with the listeners what made you want to write this book and what made you want to bring it to life.
Well, as I had gone through just the struggle of having difficult pregnancies, as you mentioned, yes, we went through years of infertility trying to have a baby. And then, you know, with some minor effort medically, we ended up, you know, pregnant with our first set of twins. And in doing so, I was going along my regular business, going to work, you know, doing all my busy things. Then suddenly my pregnancy caused me to go on bed rest because I started to have preterm labor very early. And so my doctor said, nope, can't do anything. And at that point, taking a very busy person and having them do absolutely nothing is very challenging. So one of the ways I was able to manage that, cope with all that, is I decided to just journal and write down, you know, everything I was going through, everything my family was going through, my husband and I. And I decided just to write it all down. It kind of helped me fill the time. And what I didn't realize is I was going to do that for the next two pregnancies as well, because they both ended up being, all three of them ended up being high risk multiple pregnancies, putting me back on bed rest each time. I became a pro at it. And I did find that sometimes just writing down your feelings, your fears, you know, your hopes, and just some of the things that you observe as you go through these experiences in your life that are so profound. At the end of it all, when my boys were born, I realized I had so many journals all stacked up that I had a book that really was asking to be made, to be written. And so, never having done that before, but having been working in the advertising and, you know, in copywriting world for a long time, I kind of had a way of writing. I could do it. And so I put it together. And in about a year and a half, I finished the first release of Twins Times Three.
So as you're there and you're on bed rest, I'm trying to put myself in your shoes.
We have six
children.
Mm-hmm. And oh, wow.
By the fourth or fifth child, my wife is sitting on the couch. And I'm like, I'm a little lonely. I'm like, you're on the couch all the time. How did your husband, obviously, the very first one, he must have been really afraid, really fearful. Because when you see your wife going a million miles an hour, then all of a sudden she's basically, for lack of a better word, useless on the couch. That's basically what she is, right? I mean, how did you handle it?
I embrace that feeling.
You embrace
that.
But I don't want you on the couch. I want you help me out here. How did your husband?
I'll be honest with you guys. Very, very busy. You know, up at 5:30 in the morning. We lived in the Washington D.C. metro area at the time, and we were both very, very busy having to get in the car, drive an hour, you know, to get anywhere in that area. You know, it's going to be a minimum of an hour, so it's traffic and it's getting to work and doing all that stuff. Having been told to go on bed rest, oh darn! I welcomed it until I realized that as the days went on, it wasn't so fun anymore. So, but as for my husband, you know, we'll have to get together. You'll have to meet him. He's that guy. He's the guy that just like what, you know, he's there to help. He switches gears as fast as you have to. And he figures out what he needs to do. What can I do? How can I help? And that's what he was. And he stepped up and he worked for both of us, did all the grocery shopping, came home, made dinner, brought it downstairs so that I would stay on the couch in our lower level. Did all that good stuff, you know?
But the question, though, honestly, let me ask you the question, though, honestly, did he miss a part of you, though? Because it's sort of your identity. It's sort of having the wife there beside you.
Right.
And now all of a sudden you're completely shut down. And obviously we will pick up for the slack. We will do all that. But there's got to be a difficulty. I mean, it's got to be a little bit of difficulty when you're by yourself all the time, you know?
Oh, yeah. So, He went into work every day. Obviously, he went into work every day, did everything. And yeah, we were partners. We didn't have a child until we were married 10 years, almost 10, well, about 9 years. So we've been side by side, night and day. Everything we did was together until that point. I think there was a part of him that really appreciated being needed for the first time. You know, honestly, you know, always doing and doing and doing. He really appreciated it. He stepped up. Yes, I can't speak for him. He's never really said, man, I miss you on the way to work and back. But maybe he didn't. Maybe he get to listen to his own tunes, you know, for example. You know, do his own thing. You know, probably I'd like to think that I was missed. I'd like to think that I, you know, that there was a change there that wasn't so great. And he was worried about me. There were times I had to go into the hospital, stop labor, you know. He watched me on medication and he watched me, you know, hooked up to IVs and all that. And he was worried. And I know he was. And I know by the time the girls came and they were at a point where they were, you know, past the danger, we were just really, really relieved. Yes, they still were NICU babies for a while because they were still preemies. But again, you know, he was that, he's just always been that step up guy. He just has. And I think, but when it came down to it and I was back on my feet, oh yeah, yeah. Cause the time had arrived. But at that point, of course, you know, I was a full-time mom and nursing babies and, you know, and exhaustion. And boy, we went through all that together. That was a whole other story. But yeah, not able to really speak for him. I'm sure that it was rough on him as well.
Yeah. I think, Fran, a lot of times, because my husband and I talk about, obviously, we're on a podcast. I feel like we do open up more than normally. We bring up conversations that we normally wouldn't have, I guess. And I think that's helped us revisit our past, where it's like, well, how did you feel about that? I never actually asked you. And I think this is, you know, even the listeners, like there are a lot of things that we go through during marriage, during having children, sure, that we never actually bring up. Hey, how'd you feel about that? What'd you miss? You know, and I think that's always, there's always these opportunities. But I do think our marriages go through, especially with having children, go through these stages of, you know, uncertainty. And all of a sudden the things change. And now you're in bed, write these journals, which I love because I think sometimes we're so busy in life that we forget, what's going on in my head? What's going on? What am I afraid of? Take us back to those moments. And what were your fears? What was going on?
Oh my gosh. Well, one thing I have to say is that I feel so blessed that this all happened before social media, because I know that I probably would have seen and heard of so many profoundly premature births that I didn't have to know about then. And I think living in that state of, you know, just that ignorant bliss, yes, there was always the chance. Right. Yes, I would, you know, I was cramping again or I was contracting, but I never, ever really thought that I would have, you know, the babies you sometimes see online now. Oh my God. I think I would have been,
too
you
much,
know, I think
too
I
much would information have, right now. Yeah. You can see everything with you.
It sure is. I agree. And so the thoughts at the time, because I knew every little twinge and every little, just worry, I was concerned. Now the first time around, I didn't know anything. I didn't know what that felt meant. I didn't know what that was. Should I worry? Should I not? You know, should I call my doctor kind of thing? So often it was nothing, you know, but just not knowing, you know, sometimes made me worry. But I think the fact that I just didn't know that first time around was good. So I was able to jot down just my hopes and dreams about my daughters. We found out we were having two girls and we were just excited. And I would think about how that was going to be one day. You know, I was so busy with my career. I had two at the time. By day, I was a graphic designer in advertising. It was busy and it was competitive and wonderful. And at night, I was in a rock band. I was a rocker chick, you know, on M Street in Georgetown. Loving it. But man, embracing this future motherhood because it had been something I had dreamed about and wanted for so long. But I would go into the hospital, say, for instance, and I'd come back and I'd write about the details of that experience, because to me, it was so rare and so unique for me to go through that I just felt like jotting it down. And I was able to use that later when I went back. Now, the second and third times, which I had no idea was going to happen that first time around, but now I knew what could happen because the girls came at 31 weeks. And yes, that was definitely premature. But not like the 21 weekers you see or the 23 weekers or you know about these days. Just I didn't know that, thank goodness. But the second time around, I was worried. And to be honest, what happened the second time, I was actually expecting triplets for a while. And that was overwhelming because I thought, if I can't carry two past 31, how in the world am I going to carry three beyond the point where they're, you know, at their a point where they're safe and we're not, you know, looking at profound prematurity and long-term illness. So the second time around, the third time around, I was much more fearful. I knew now, I knew what I was facing and what could happen, but that was at that much more reason, you know, to write, to pray, to worry, and to really, really watch what I did. And the first time around, I was drawing, I was painting, I was crafting all on my side. The second time I was reading and I was writing and I was watching TV and I was talking with my kids and that kind of thing. I was really much more careful. My second set of twins, they did become a set of twins and not triplets. About 12 weeks along, I lost one and went on to have a boy girl set of twins. And they were born nearly 36 weeks. So they were full termers. Yes. And that was wonderful, wonderful. But there was many times I still went into the hospital three times during that pregnancy, trying to stop it, going on all that medication to stop the labor. Because what happens is, you know, it's not that we just get larger with a multiple pregnancy. It's not so much the growth that we get, but it's the rate of growth. It's how fast, and it causes irritability with the system, with the body. I had, you know, I tell my husband, you know, it was called an irritable uterus, you know. Not the rest of me wasn't irritable as well, you know, but that is what happens. And so it tends to want to fight back. And so then you end up with contractions much more than you would with a single pregnancy. To this day, I have no idea if I could have carried a single one full term. I probably could have done just fine. But you know, with me, I'm not the biggest person, kind of short-waisted. I had a hard time with it. And by the third time, I had four children. I had to rely on my mom, my mother-in-law, my husband, neighbors to get them to and from school. There was just much more logistics to have to work out, and it was stressful. And, you know, the first two pregnancies had a little bit of help. Just a little bit, nothing big, nothing major. And then we had twins. The third time, it was an idea. Let's go for one more baby. And we ended up having another set of twins just spontaneously. And it was two boys. God has a sense of humor. So that's what I would write about. I'd write about all of the experiences, the nurses I met in the hospital, what so-and-so did, a roommate that I had that caused me to laugh, or something we shared that was profound and I learned from. Maybe I was able to share and maybe teach someone else, or maybe to lift someone else. I had a roommate whose water had broken prematurely, and she was petrified. And she was around the same point where I was when I delivered. And she was so afraid that her baby was going to be so sick and premature. And I was able to at least calm her and let her know that at that point, my girls were 4.5 years old and they were healthy and happy and she didn't have to worry. And so I was able to waylay those fears that she had. You know, all the things that we go through, honestly, I just believe that we're not meant for those experiences to just be ours and to only be our own benefit. And that's the other reason why I wrote the book. The things that I've learned, you know, the valleys I've gone through, and the highs and the lows, I believe that so much were teachable moments for myself. And if that were the case, how could I inspire or educate or just, you know, calm another person, maybe inspire someone else who's given up trying to have a family when they, you know, when they've gone through years of infertility. And I can speak from my own experience. Is not something I would wish on anyone, because it is a very isolating, sad, depressing place to be in. And it really can mess with your mind and with your soul and with your marriage. And that's then that kind of we went through. So I hope I answered your question.
Take me back to when you're busy, you're the rocker, you have the graphic design, and then all of a sudden you become a mom. What did that shift? Because I mean, a lot of people, I mean, especially when we had our first child, things completely change.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're in the workforce and all of a sudden you're, I don't want to say stuck at home, but you're at home raising a family. It's a completely different shift in life. How did that transpire?
Oh my gosh. Yes, that's a really good question. I, as I said, I went, at least I had a little bit of transition period you know, having to slow down, you know, before the babies came.
Oh, yeah.
So I did, you know, it was sad to me because I love my career. And I left a desk full of work and a computer full of projects. And I had to pass them off to another designer. And I remember thinking, you know, I missed that. And that was hard. When the babies came, I didn't have time to think of anything at that point. I was back and forth at the hospital. I was pumping milk and delivering and feeding and it just went cycle day after day after day, and day ran into day. And did I brush my teeth yesterday? Did I, you know, what was the last time I washed my hair? But then when things started to settle down and they were up home and we got into a routine, yes, I have to say that there was a time that I had to go through a mourning period and say goodbye to my old self and think, well, you know, there's a time when we get to do all the dreams that we want. You know, we get to live them all. We just can't do them at the same time. This was a dream I wanted so bad, to be a mom. To be a mother was of all the fulfilling things that were given in our life. As a woman, as for me anyway, I can only speak for myself. That was a part that I needed to do more than anything, more than the fulfillment of my career, which, listen, I went to school 2 times and got 2 degrees to get to where I was. So it was hard fought and it was very, very fulfilling. Being a mother was the most satisfying and the most fulfilling thing, gift in my life, and still is today. It's the role that I have that has given me the most joy and the most fulfillment that I can't even put into words how much, but to say that I did go through a mourning process to begin with, I do. Absolutely. I missed my old me. And here's an example. Remember a glamour shots? Remember when you go and this place, they do all that thing, get your hair up and you had hair the size of, you know, like a helmet.
Yep.
And all the makeup. So my husband Bruce had a picture of me on his dresser, my glamour shot from maybe the year before we had our girls. And when we brought home our girls from the hospital, one of them had to have a visiting nurse come. She had to have surgery and she had nurse care for a little while. And so when the nurse came over, I met her at the door. You know, it's just January. It's snowing. I'm exhausted. I go to the door. I've got my glasses up. My hair, I don't know, my hair's up or back or whatever. And she comes and she sits down. So I bring her into my bedroom. I'm filling out some paperwork and the baby's bed is next to my bed. So why not? That was the hub. So I'm doing that. And she's looking at me and she's looking at my husband's dresser and she's looking back and forth and she's going, is that a picture of you? And I said, yes.
Oh, no. That's awful.
That's something I would say. I mean, come on.
Believe it or not, that was me about 10 months ago. Yeah, yeah. And I said, I wanted to say no. I just let him keep a picture of some chick on it. So yes, the me had gone for a while. The thought of getting up on stage and singing, you know, was just, it could not have been further away. Mm. And so then we moved up when the girls were about 6 months old. We left the Virginia area. We came down to Gainesville because my husband got a great job. He was headhunted down here and he was at outside of Gainesville, in Gainesville, outside of UNF. I'm sorry, UF, with the Brain Institute. He's a healthcare architect. Anyway, and so not only was I now a mom with 6-month-old twin girls, but then we left all of our friends. And I was sitting in Gainesville in an apartment, feeling so isolated, feeling so alone, and on the phone with my mom all the time, right? You know, and my friends, how's life? Are you going to work? How's work? You know, all those things. But then, you know, what you do, I don't know, most women, I know I do. I figured out. We go to church and I found the mom's group with church. And so there was a preschoolers group. And so I made friends and I embraced that. And there were other moms that were going through the same things. And so that's how I made connections with people and it allowed me to feel alive. Mm. Not just the wife and a mom. And I could come out and hang out with friends and we'd laugh and, you know, the kids would play and roll around the floor. And I could laugh with other women going through what I'm going through. That is huge when you're going through that because you do miss your life, but you have to figure out how to cope and how to evolve with this new ever-changing identity. And that's what I did. And I embraced it, you know, with the moves that we went to Jacksonville and more friends and, you know, One good thing I was able to do is when the girls got to be about 8 or 9 months old, I was able to start freelancing for my company. So they go for down for a nap and I'd open up my FedEx pack and take out the work. And I felt alive again in that aspect, so that I didn't allow my career to fall off the edge of the earth, you know. And I was able to do that. So I did that for many years. My kids knew that I would go into the computer room and I would work. So that was a blessing as well.
We love to promote family on the show. And I think mothers are often not given the credit that they deserve. What are some of the things that you said you always wanted to be a mother? That was your dream. Why was motherhood so important to you? And what are some of the things that you think... not even so important, but when you're thinking about motherhood, it's not often talked about as obviously it's not glamorous, but some of the benefits, some of the things that really brought joy to you, what did motherhood mean to you and how did it impact your life?
A lot of women, I think a lot of little girls start out, you know, we start out, we watch our moms. I've had two children, two siblings younger than me. And one was about 8 years younger than me. And so I became like a little mom to my little brother. And I learned all the things, what to do, it, how to calm a baby, how to change a diaper. And maybe not every woman has that, but I did. I loved it. I loved feeling the nurture that comes out of us. A lot of us just have a nurturing spirit. And I always grew up knowing that one day I would have a family. I'd find a gentleman who wanted to have a family together. And we'd grow our family. It just felt like the most basic need, the most basic progression of a woman's life. Not everyone feels that way. I have a daughter, one of my daughters who grew up as one of six, prefers the company of animals. You know, she that's it. I think that she probably always will. You know, you're either going to love it or not. Well, for me, the thought of not being a mom was heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. And when we started to plan for a family, we made the choice and it was time to do it and it wasn't working. It was frustrating and then it became heartbreaking and then it became depressing. And then, of course, what happens is that you look around and your friends, your peers, your brothers, your sisters-in-law, everyone's having a family and everyone's coming together at occasions and, you know, family get-togethers and holidays, and there's the new baby, and there's someone's expecting, and it is a feeling of loss for a dream that you've had until you are able to somehow achieve it, and that is what that's how it was with me. And the longer it took to get there, the harder it was, and the more I wanted it, and that's how it was with me. So, and then once it did happen. And once I was a mom and once my girls, you know, it was my girls and I and Bruce often traveled with work. You know, they were my world and I was surprisingly very fulfilled with them, very much so, watching them, listening to them, watching them grow in their minds and questions. And my goodness, it was an honor to be their mother. It was an absolute, you know, being a faithful person to begin with. I knew that this was just the most incredible blessing that I could have had. And I just had to wait for it. And when I did get it, and when our family, you know, did begin to grow, the gratitude could not be put into words. Now, was it hard? Oh my God. I mean, the sleep deprivation was something I was not prepared for. Oh my God. And two babies. And when one would finally quiet, the other one would wake up. And I would just feel like, how do you survive this? Somehow we did. And again, my husband was just such a hands-on, such a step-up guy. He did everything. He would have breastfed if he could. I swear he wouldn't have. I swear he would have, if that could have been. But he, you know, he did everything that he could have.
And, he's better than me. He's a better guy than I am.
To this day, he's such a hands-on guy. And then, you know, just having the other kids. And as our family grew, having the older children just embrace being older siblings. Being helpers. It has been so wonderful. You know, where the household stomach virus is fun. Oh God, no. You know, where the trips on vacation, lugging everybody, you know, 10 hours on the road. So much fun. You know, there was so much struggle and so many challenges and so many tears, but man, has the laughter and the love outweighed all of it. I know it sounds cliche, but I'm telling the absolute truth. I truly am. As a mom of six, I know, you know,
My wife has just gotten over the sleep deprivation. She's gotten caught up in her sleep the last couple of years, would you say?
Yeah, I think the last 5 years.
So for the first 20 years, you were just sleep deprived.
You know, it's funny. We came back from Italy recently. So we're still, what's that word?
Jet-lagged.
Jet-lagged. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, this is what it felt like.
Yes.
This is what I felt like for all those years, right? And it's awful. But of course, you wouldn't. Straight, I would take it again.
I'm not guilty to say that I had no sleep deprivation. You made me sleep. You allowed me to sleep because I had to go to work. Yes. I got up in the morning, went to work. So you let me sleep.
Okay, so here's the thing. If I would have done it again, I probably would have changed.
You can't get any do-overs, baby. No, no do-overs.
It worked out. We're the people we are because of it. I love the fact that you're very honest about how being a mother, being all of that. And I love that. What really stood out to me was that in the midst of just that frustration of, especially just being in bed, we're so busy and all that stuff, you figured it out. You moving to Gainesville away from everyone you knew, similar here, is that you figured out something to do. And I think that's where I feel like nowadays, a lot of people are just, they dwell in their difficulty and they figure it out. And so that's why I want you to talk to those people, because I feel like that's where we need to kind of help those people right now.
Agree. I really do. And again, I'll reiterate what I said about the things that we go through. We don't go through these things in our life just to do them by ourselves, just to learn from them by ourselves, just take away, you know, the things that we could take away and learn from and then move on. I really do believe that it's about inspiring other people. You know, in every difficult situation, there's always something to take away, always something to learn from. And there's always a choice that we have. We can choose to just be angry and bitter and angry. Woe is me. Look at me. You know, this is just, you know, the pits. And why did it happen to me? You know, nobody else is going through this. It's just me. Well, you got to know that's not the case. You have to know that if one person's going through this, look for the opportunities to find someone else, some type of support group. I mean, they're everywhere, especially with social media now. I didn't have that back then. I think Facebook was just kind of when the boys were born in 2007. I did look for support. I looked for twin clubs. You know, I didn't know what else to do. My doctor said, you know, reach out, here's some information, because it's all about finding other people who have come before you in this situation. And what did they do? How can they help? I was determined to breastfeed. I just wanted to do that. It was just something I was absolutely determined to do. And I did all three times, 18 months each time. And it was just the most, satisfying, wonderful experience. Not always easy, but I knew it was the best thing for all of us. It was hard. And it was really hard to get over those humps in the beginning. And thank God for the twin group that I joined, even to talk on the phone with people up in Virginia, the longest conversations, you can do this, I can come over, I can help you. That got me through things. It was other people who had paved the way. You know, you're not having to go through this alone. Whatever your situation is, someone else has frontiered this path, and I guarantee you can find it. All it takes is a little bit of research. You know, find that person that had, premature twins, that have necrotizing enterocolitis, that one of my daughters had. Figure out, talk to somebody. How did you guys make out with that? How did she do? How did he do? You'll find that not going through it alone takes enormous weight off of you and allows you to lighten the situation, allows you to feel inspired that, that you're going to come through this. Okay. You really are. And you've been given this for a reason. Maybe down the road, you're the inspiration. Remember that. Try to remember.
Fran, where can the listeners get a hold of you? Want to buy the book? Where's the best place to reach out?
They can go to, I have my main website, because I am a musical artist. I was a singer before, and I picked it up again about 8 years ago, and I've done a lot on that. So where they should go is franpetrysings.com. On that website, you can go to my about page and find everything about the book, everything about the audiobook and all that. So, and then of course, all everything about the music. I've put out three albums. So,
that's amazing.
Pitre is P-I-T-R-E. So it's Fran P-I-T-R-E, just to make sure, because she says she's French Cajun. I thought she was Italian, but she's not. But it's okay. I'm not going to hold it against her. And I tend to wrap up the podcast a lot. But this is more like a mom podcast. This is a mom vibe thing. You guys have this connection, sleep deprivation. Yeah. You guys are both irritable. She had a good irritable something. Now you got a little irritability, right? Yeah. You've got six kids. Fran's got six kids.
Can be. Yeah.
I'm proud of it. I'm proud of my irritability. Yes. No, Fran, I love you. Yes, 100. I